Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can find us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features an interview with our minister to children and family, Donna Luke.
Hello, Faith Church. Jeff here with another podcast Thursday edition interview. Today, I am joined by Christoph.
Hey there.
Welcome, Christoph.
Thank you. I get a chance to be on the podcast this time.
I am thrilled.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well.
And Christoph and I are here with Donna Loop. Welcome, Donna.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome, so Donna. Go ahead, Christoph.
I'm sorry. I give Jay and Robbie a hard time for talking over each other, and I just totally did the exact same thing. No, I'm loving this this kind of two podcasts a week thing, where the first podcast of the week we talk about the sermon and different things going on around the church, and then the second one we talk a little bit just to somebody. We ask, got a chance to get to know. I got the chance to do one, and we had last week Kevin Johnson, one of our elders, and we talked to Leslie as well. It's been really cool.
It's been amazing. I know for me, even just being part of recording them and hearing from people that I do see, every day almost, I've learned a lot about them that I didn't know. So I hope those of you who listened along the way, you're also learning more about who these people are and what God is doing in them.
So not to put you on the spot, but have you been listening to the podcast at all, Donna?
Not all of them, I have to admit.
I should have asked you that beforehand.
Two out of three, I did.
Two out of three?
I haven't gotten to the third one yet.
Okay. We're actually on, this is episode 8, so.
Yes, thank you for putting me on the spot even more.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
So I've been listening to the Thursday ones.
Oh, okay.
And not, sorry, Jay and Robbie, I confess, I have not listened to the Tuesday ones.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's why we do all the different resources that we do, because not everybody's going to be part of it. So sorry, I had to ask. Just curious.
But I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here.
To being roasted, apparently. Today.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet now. Go ahead, Jeff.
Some questions we did not tell you that might be coming, right?
Yeah, already off the script. You prepared Donna ahead of time and I went way off script. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
So Donna, this morning you were in my living room via Zoom, and a couple of my kiddos were on the couch interacting with you because you're the minister to children and families. I wondered if you could maybe share a little bit about how you came to be the minister of children and families, how long have you been doing that, and what drew you into that specific ministry and that specific audience target.
So do you mean here at Faith in particular or children's ministry?
I would love to go back even farther.
Back to the beginning of getting involved in children's ministry.
Yes.
And then maybe
because it is a God only can do that kind of story, which I love those.
Yeah.
And so to be able to share that is really fun. I honestly when I finished Bible college, I was all about missions. And then as time went on, it was more specifically the local church and discipleship and adult ministry. So my degree was in Bible and women's ministry. If someone had asked me my first few years out of college, so do you think you'll be doing children's ministry? I would have promptly said, never. Thank you very much.
Wow.
And little did I know that I was missing the best part. So, I loved being in adult ministries for as long as I did that. But when we moved to our second church in Central Oregon, there was no one working with the kids specifically. And Archer was an associate pastor there, and they just were in need. So I thought, well, goodness, I'll serve where needed. That's totally fine. So I transitioned into children's ministry there, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so much fun. Why did I ever think that I would not want to do it? And granted, just everybody has their niche as far as age groups, and I totally get that. If somebody had handed me just, preschool ministry, I would be exhausted and I wouldn't have lasted, I confess. But as far as children's ministry, Overall, I grew to love it and to enjoy the kids' candor and their faith and their fun. And yeah, it just, so that was a volunteer position. Obviously, we were in a small church there. But I did that for the 3.5 years that we lived there. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And then when we moved here, I thought, well, you know, I don't know if they need somebody in children's ministry. I'll just wait, and God will show me where I'm needed. And Pastor Dave at the time made that clear pretty much the minute we walked in the door that he would really like me to be involved in children's ministry. So I joyfully agreed.
So I'm curious, you said that you originally, you would have said no way to children's ministry, and then God kind of, he sprung you into it, and it was like a light bulb. You loved it. Mm-hmm. What did you love about it that was so surprising to you, that was different than your, you kind of had this expectation that you wouldn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. What was different than what your expectation was?
That's a great question. I'm thinking probably a twofold answer, that on one hand, it was just a God thing. It was a God gift to say, this is where I want you. But I think I was surprised by the depth that I could connect with the kids and connect with them spiritually as well as in all of life. Like, I just really didn't expect that. As much as we loved raising our daughter, and obviously I had deep conversation with her and enjoyed her friends, but I simply did not expect to dig in and be able to connect with them on a real heart level, I guess.
That's so great. And heard from my own kids, I know that is a gift that you have. And so I'm really thankful that you're serving in that capacity in our church.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely feel privileged to do it. I love them.
So here's another question. What do you enjoy most about children's ministry?
Most.
Yeah, top three, and we're definitely going to judge you based upon the top three. So
let me think. One of my favorites. Can I do more than one?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
You can.
Okay. Yeah, please.
So one of my favorites is when light bulbs go on and you hear them experiencing and understanding God and sharing that back to you. And whether that's like in a classroom situation, or you're just having a conversation with them outside of class, or even if a parent shares something with me about an interaction they've had with their own kids that relates back to something that's amazing. Another thing that I love is watching when kids serve from their hearts and they see God in it. Like our annual Christmas program, for example, when kids get to be on stage and in working toward that, you see their joy and their excitement about sharing and understanding the gospel and sharing that message with other people. Like, oh, that is so delightful. Those events are not joyous for event's sake, because they are certainly a boatload of work. But what comes out of those events often is just a deeper connection with the kids and their understanding of what it is to serve Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to love him.
That's awesome. So. I love that. It's that I feel the same way when it comes to like youth ministry, when you see not only the light bulbs go off, but then the practicality behind that, when you see like there's a clicking, but then it moves from the head. you know, we use the head, heart, hands, but you kind of see that happening, and that's awesome.
There's nothing better. So fun.
It really, it's a unique, I mean, really privilege, right? That that you get to witness it and witness it in a whole bunch of different people, even little ones even. Christoph, did you have any other biographical questions for Donna? I can shift gears here a little bit if you don't.
Let's go ahead and shift gears.
Okay. Donna, I would love to hear a bit about how you've been experiencing God lately. I think all of us, we've had to shift gears in life significantly in the last several weeks. And I think it'd be very helpful for people to hear how in the midst of all of that, you've been experiencing him.
I would say not much differently than usual. Isn't that interesting? That cultivating a consistent walk with Jesus means that when we come to these times where life goes haywire on us, that our walk with Jesus can be that consistent anchor and refuge and strong rock and all that I need. Yes, perhaps maybe that felt need is a bit deeper these days in the midst of trying to figure out what is God calling me to do in all of this craziness. But I am so grateful for the rock that does not change and the fact that I cultivate that relationship 365 days a year, no matter what's going on, that remains steady and sure and constant and comforting no matter what's going on in our circumstances.
So I'm curious in relation to that. So actually, going back to not biographical, but ministry, we're talking ministry in walking with God. So you yourself, your personal relationship with God has kind of remained steady. Mm-hmm. Ministering to other people, though, I'm curious, maybe this is even like looking forward a little bit, but I guess in terms of just your walk with God, have you found the circumstances that we're surrounded by right now, have you found that it has helped you minister to other people, or do you feel like it has been a detriment to ministering to other people?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I would have to say a little bit of both. I have been on a major learning curve. So there is a part of me that has felt very frustrated by my lack of tech ability and my whole what in the world is this Zoomy thing and all of these other things that are great tools for ministry. But I've been spending a bunch of time in front of YouTube going, where's the next how-to video, for goodness sakes, because what is banned for... Oh, so I'm learning a lot. And as I learn more, I'm beginning to feel more confident in using those tools, except for today, using those tools to invest in people in ways that feel normal, shall I say. So that has been both good and hard. But I have also, and I think we all have, we felt that sense of people are more open to just be real and let's not chit chat about things that don't matter because there is so much to talk about that really does matter. And those conversations have been able to go deeper, more quickly than usual. And opened more doors, I think. That's been very special.
Yeah, that's a really unique thing that God is doing right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we can't pretend like all there is to talk about is weather or the sports that aren't going on, right? Or whatever.
Or how busy your family is.
Right. That's a really unique opportunity for conversations. I know even with neighbors and, you know, people that maybe... You know, we're not officially pastoring or ministering to like we are at church, but they are friends, they are acquaintances, and they're near us, and they are interested in talking about meaningful things right now, too. Mm-hmm. I really like what you were saying earlier too, just back to your experience of God. A couple images came to your mind like immediately. You said anchor, solid rock. I'm trying to remember if anything else, but those are really powerful images. Mm-hmm. And the rock one especially, right? That comes from the end of the Sermon on the Mount is one example of Jesus using that. And it's when the storm hits, it's when the waves crash upon the house and the winds go that the foundation matters. And I feel like what you just described really illustrates that, like why having this solid foundation in Christ and a connection with him is so important, because storms come.
They do indeed.
And we're in one right now. Have there been any passages or verses that maybe you have in the past memorized or thought about that have come back to you, either for yourself or in ministry to other people as a word of encouragement right now?
Well, funny you should mention that, since I've spent an hour with the kids trying, well, not, it wasn't an hour because we're not allowed an hour, but we talked about Psalm 62 today and how beautifully David describes finding his refuge in God, and that God is his solid rock. He is his stronghold. He is our salvation. And those are the images that I was trying to explain to the kids to keep in their minds so that they can visualize how much we can hide ourselves in God and hold tight to him no matter what storms are blowing around us.
You say that was Psalm 62?
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you for awesome. That.
That reminds me of 2 weeks ago in youth group, we've been doing Zoom small groups for the youth, middle and high schoolers, and we've been doing just different words that Christians say. And we talked about the word hope for the first week. I thought it was very fitting to use the word hope. And I love the definition this one person gave hope. It was hope. It was this... living in a present where you expect a better future. And I was just thinking on how Jesus, like how we always can look towards Jesus as that anchor, and we always have a hope. We always have like a sure and steady hope, you know? And now I have Christ the sure and steady anchor stuck in my head because you guys keep talking about anchors and rocks. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Those images are powerful, aren't they?
They're great, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you feel like there has been, I feel like this is a question that we've been asking a lot, and for some people it has been a really encouraging question, and for some people it's been a discouraging question. What has God been teaching you?
Ooh. My hesitation is not for lack of content, but for an overwhelming gratefulness of a Father who loves us so much that he meets us no matter what circumstances look like, and he meets us with compassion, and he meets us with steadiness, and he meets us where we need to be met. And he's not in a hurry, as we have talked about in staff meeting. And so even though we would wish that we could push his plans forward, we would wish that COVID would be a thing of history, I have seen so consistently in scripture that when God has a plan, he meets you in the midst of frustration with that plan, but he does not change his plan for you. He has a plan that has perfect timing, has perfect resolution. It fits with his overall plan, his big God story, and he is going to bring it to pass. He is going to be faithful, and he is going to listen to our hearts and meet us in the midst of it, but he's not going to change that plan. He does not change. And so he will bring his strength into our weakness in the midst of struggling to wait for him to accomplish his purposes.
Thank you for that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hearty amen to that. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm working through the Old Testament again, so I've just recently finished Judges and am still in 1 Samuel and going back and forth between 1 Samuel and Psalms, and having just seen time and time again how God is so patient with how grievously we deal with waiting sometimes. You know, we certainly manage to find creative ways and not so creative ways to attempt to control God's plan in a way that he does not intend. And oh my goodness, his compassion and his forgiveness and grace. And, you know, when we turn to him, he is right there, so faithful to continue to walk us. Okay, let's keep moving. What's the next step? Let's keep growing together.
Yeah.
It's one of those lessons too, that it's one thing to know intellectually, right? And another thing to experience. And thank you for sharing the way you did, because I can tell through your voice right now that you're experiencing that truth. And we need to hear that from each other right now. What is God really doing? So thank you for sharing that. I would love to spend a few minutes talking about gospel community. So, I mean, the first thing I'd love if you could do is just describe for us what gospel community has looked like the last several weeks.
It has been a work in progress.
I bet.
We have settled on Zoom meetings, and so we are actually continuing to virtually gather on Sunday evenings and keep our normal schedule, so to speak, so that we stay in that rhythm of meeting together. We have chosen to add a band group so that when we text, our communications don't get lost in the, you know, in all the other texts that people are passing around. And then we can respond to each other when we have that opportunity. That way we're trying to stay more consistent in prayer for each other and encouraging each other in the word and what we're learning.
Could we stop for 1 second?
Yeah.
Just in case there are people listening who don't know what band is, could you just give us a quick couple sentence description of band? B-A-N-D.
B-A-N-D. It is an app for connecting as a group, and it does much more than I have learned thus far. So Christoph would actually be much better to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an app that you can use, or even a website that you can use, that kind of creates your own little social sphere. And so for those who are a little nervous about joining Facebook, because, you know, everyone's on there and security issues and things like that, Band allows you to create kind of your own little Facebook group without having to join Facebook. It's kind of the best, simplest way I think I can state it.
Yeah. So we can share pictures with each other. We can share links with each other that for resources that we find to encourage, all those kinds of things. And I think our communication, even though we're just learning to use that better, I think our communication will continue to be better as we use that tool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious. And I guess, even before I ask this question, I feel like it's really important to say that when it comes to things like gospel community, gospel community is just something that we use to help people have kind of a structure to stay connected with a family of believers. And so if we're saying this and we're talking about gospel community and the person who's listening isn't a part of a gospel community, that doesn't mean that any part of this conversation doesn't apply to you. It just means that take out the word gospel community and put in, you know, other brothers and sisters in Christ that you're connected to. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, so for you, gospel community, it's been gospel community. What does it look like to stay connected? Is it just band, or have there been other ways of staying connected with your gospel community? Or even, I guess, in a broader spectrum of just other brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you staying connected?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, it has been not just with my GC, but also with others who I get the opportunity to connect with, whether that's to reach out to them to encourage them, or they have reached out to me to see how I'm doing. It's been a beautiful thing just to use a variety of methods of connection. So whether that's been text or FaceTiming, I had a wonderful time of connecting with someone by going for a walk with my phone and holding it in front of me and having a FaceTime conversation as I was walking.
I love that. That's awesome.
It was fabulous. And I'm sure people were thinking, wow, she's just really over addicted to that phone. But it was a wonderful conversation. And that was like 40 minutes. I got in, 7,000 steps and
wow, nice.
Had a great conversation.
So. I just had a picture of you. You like biking.
Yes.
Right? I just had this picture of you. It was just funny because Jeff loves biking too, but
yes.
You like have a selfie stick and you have your phone out there and you're making somebody.
No, just a handlebar connector.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous. Maybe don't do that. No, walking seems okay.
Indeed. So there have been all sorts of things. Let's see. Messenger. I've done some connections with people on Facebook Messenger. Kind of making the rounds on all the methods and what people are comfortable with. But one thing that I'm finding to be consistent is that the face-to-face connections have been precious and more significant than ever before because we don't get that opportunity to gather. I highly recommend not just a text or just even a phone conversation. It has been extra special to find a way to connect face to face, whether that's a Zoom call or a FaceTime call or Messenger, whatever it might be. I think those connections have been extra special.
That's a really good word. Yeah, I have a call in an hour here, and I was debating, should this be a call or a FaceTime? And now I know it should be a FaceTime based on what you just
said.
There
you go.
Amen.
Nice.
There's something about being able to see someone else's face when you're having it. You know, there's so much communication that happens just with our body language and simple facial expressions. So
I have the tendency too, I think, when it comes to a voice call to start multitasking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're talking to somebody, you're like, okay, well, I can clean this. Like if I'm at the house, clean this up or I'll do this. And
right.
You can't really do that when you're FaceTiming.
True.
You know?
Although it sounds like Donna figured it out because she got 7,000 steps of all FaceTiming.
That's true. To think about. Well, except when I'm crossing the street. It's like, give me a second. Man. I just got to make sure.
If we don't see Donna in the
in.
Office next week, we know it's because she was walking and FaceTiming at the same time.
Come find me.
Oh, my. Well, Donna, this has been a delight. I do want to, one last question, really very open-ended, but is there anything else that has been on your mind or that you want to share with us before we go for today?
Be diligent in prayer and expect and look for what God is doing so that we can all participate together in God's intention in this time. It is not random. It is not without meaning and purpose. It is not for us to just sit home and be couch potatoes or whatever we might have opportunity to do. I fully believe that God is doing something amazing. And how sad would it be to get to the end of this season and look back and say, that wasn't like, I don't see anything that came from that. This is part of God's plan, and he is calling us to boldness at this time for just such a time as this. And in fact, that has become my word, and I am asking God for it every day. God, please make me bold, because the gospel is too important to not make the most of this opportunity that we have to share it.
Amen.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, I
love
it.
I'm really glad I asked that question. Thank you for that. Donna, thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us. It was great to be with you.
My pleasure and privilege. I just wish I could see everybody else along the way, but thanks for being able to share with both of you face to face.
Yes, it's so good to see you too, Christoph.
Yeah, yeah, you too. You too, Jeff. It's good to see you.
And church, thank you for listening again to another interview. We miss being with you in person. I'm sure you know that and you can hear that. And we are praying for you. Blessings on the rest of this week. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.